made me glad. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us, please, to the book of Job, chapter 23, verses 8 through 12. The book of Job, chapter 23, verses 8 through 12. We'll read it together. You have it, say amen. It means I need to wait a little bit. Job 23, 8 through 12. Verse 8 reads, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him." But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Twelve together, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for these your people who have come. We ask, O God, that you would speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, Lord. We need a word from you. Speak right now, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Our topic today is "A Change is Coming, I'm Moving Forward." A change is coming, I'm moving forward. Our theme for this year is moving forward. Our current situations look very bleak. The worldwide economic crisis is putting a strain on our system. We're seeing a domino effect taking place almost daily. First, the money supply became very tight due to a housing bubble that was created by some very greedy and unscrupulous people. They were lending money to people who could ill afford to pay it back. They were telling people they could live beyond their means. And many bought that lie, hook, line, and sinker. As a result of the bursting of this major bubble, many banks began to fail as homes began to foreclose due to people's inability to pay their mortgages. The failure of the banking institutions caused the money supply to dry up. When the money supply dried up, much of our economic activity slowed. In other words, people stopped spending. When people stopped spending, retailers, automobile dealerships, and others felt the sting almost immediately. Consequently, dealerships have folded. Many retailers have filed for bankruptcy, which includes Circuit City, Linens and Things, and the Sharper Image. The government has had to bail out Chrysler and GM for them to avoid bankruptcy. Consequently, there have been over 1.2 million jobs lost in the United States through November 2008. I am certain each of you in some way has been touched by our worldwide crisis. Add to this the wars we are fighting and the recent invasion of Gaza by Israel, there is extreme anxiety on the part of everyone everywhere. These are just a few questions that may be going through your mind and many other people's minds. What is going to happen next? When is the axe going to fall my way? What should I be doing to help myself and my situation? As I said, these are all questions that at some point in time, we all either have asked or will be asking ourselves, and we would want some answers. How does God view this situation? Is he a part of this? Did he create this turmoil to get our attention? Is he coming back sooner than what we believed? As I said, these are questions that will go through our minds and that we would think about and that we would consider. And when we ask the question, was God in the middle of this? Was it God who created this? My response would be, man created this. Man's greed created this. Man's desire to have more and more money created this. Man's desire to have what he knew he couldn't have created this situation. So we caused a lot of this ourselves. It's almost like when we have a failure or when something goes wrong, we blame the devil all the time. And it's not always the devil. Devil hadn't always done anything to us. Devil hadn't always been in our business. Sometimes we just cause it ourselves. Sometimes we make bad decisions. Sometimes we just do things we shouldn't be doing. And we cause these things to happen. So we can't blame the devil, and we definitely can't blame God for some of these issues that we face. But at the same time, when we do see these kinds of situations coming up and cropping up and creeping up in our lives, we can use them as an opportunity to get ourselves in line with God. Praise God. God has a way of getting our attention. One way or another, God has a way of getting our attention. So let's look at Brother Job. I believe the book of Job provides us with the inspiration needed that would sustain our godly walk during times of anxiety and loss. When situations are bleak, when things look like they are so chaotic and out of control, the book of Job gives us some inspiration that we can make it through. We can move forward. God will be on the other side. It provides us with great insight into the thoughts of a righteous man when all he had was taken from him. It gives us what this man was thinking about. It gives us an idea of what was going on in his mind as he was enduring this troubled time in his life. It also provides us with a marvelous rendition of God's confidence in his children's loyalty and devotion to him. God had confidence in Job. God had extreme confidence in the fact that if everything was taken away from him, that Job still would maintain his walk with God. And the question for us today is the same. If everything is taken away from us today, if we lose everything, would we still serve God? That's a question that we need to consider. The book of Job depicts the base meaning for why a servant of God becomes a servant of God. It tells us really what is behind serving God. We do not serve God because of his blessings. Many people would think, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and become a Christian so that I can get and reap all the rewards associated with being a Christian. Some of us who've been saved long enough can let them know, well, yeah, you're going to get some rewards, but I can tell you, you're going to also go through some trouble, trials, and tribulations. You're going to have some times when things are going to look pretty bleak. You're going to have some times when it looks like God ain't nowhere to be found. Praise the name of Jesus. So if you think that it's going to be a bed of roses coming on God's side, think again. There's a reason why we serve him. We do not serve God just because of the fringe benefits of the service. We talked about it on last week. There are blessings, there are fringe benefits that come our way just because we are a child of God. And just because we obey God's word, there are fringe benefits that come along with obeying God. Those benefits are found in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. He tells us quite frankly and easily what those benefits are and how we will be blessed in the city. We will be blessed in the field. We will be blessed going in. We will be blessed going out. Everything that our hands touch, we will be blessed. All because we follow God and that God is in the midst of us, we will be a blessed people. However, we serve God because of who he is and our longing to be close to him. It is within man, it is within our spirit, within us, that we want to be close to our Creator. It's a part of us. There's a longing within us that we want to get back into harmony and full relationship with our Creator. Some people find it and they search through different ways. They go through spiritualism and all of these kinds of avenues trying to find and get close to God. They call it Hinduism and Buddhism and Confucianism and other kinds of mystical ways of trying to get in touch with God. Many have done it through yoga and through meditation and through other means of trying to find God and be one with creation and one with everything that is around. But the fact remains, there's only one way to God. There's only one way to knowing God. There's only one way in bridging the gap that occurred when Adam sinned, and that is through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We must go through Jesus in order to get ourselves right with God. That's the only way. We got to go through Jesus Christ. Satan asked for permission to prove to God Job was serving him because of how good God was to Job. In chapter 1 of the book of Job, verses 9 through 11, this is what Satan said. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face. Now, this is what Satan was telling God about Job. Take away the protection that you have given him. Take away all that you have provided, all these blessings that you've given unto him. Take them away. Remove every last one of them. And see that he will curse you to your face. So the challenge was set, and God accepted the challenge on Job's behalf. Job went in this. Job didn't have nothing to do with it. God accepted this challenge on behalf of Job. He said, okay, go right ahead. Do whatever you need to do to Job. But the one thing that I don't want you to do, don't touch his soul. Don't bother with his soul. But anything else is fair game. You can have it all. In this life of servitude, we are at the bidding of our master. The Lord directs our lives according to Psalm 37:23. It reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." We are not our own. According to the Apostle Paul, we are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. So we are slaves unto God. So whatever God wants out of us, then we must give it unto him. So in this instance, Job had no part in this decision. God made the decision for Job. Job, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to have to take you through this situation. Everything that could go wrong in Job's life went wrong. First, his wife came to him. Wife came to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" After all the calamity that occurred in his life, after all the things that had happened, all of his cattle stolen, all of his possessions stolen, tornado came and just wiped the house away. And not only did it wipe the house away, it killed all his children. Everything that Job had and that Job had worked for, all of his possessions gone. Everything wiped out. And then on top of that, his health was touched. My. The man had boils all over his body. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, he had boils all over him. He had boils to the point that whatever that was inside them was oozing out. It was oozing out to the point that it stank. And it stank so badly, no one could even come close to him or be around him because of the smell. All he could do was to get himself in ashes and sit under the tree all by himself. Now, think about this. This man had everything. He was the richest man in the town. Everybody looked to Job because they knew that Job had it all. If anybody had it together, Job had it together. Now, all of a sudden, everything that Job had was gone, totally gone, disappeared overnight. He doesn't have anything. It's all gone. It's all disappeared. And then he's got his friends coming to him and telling him, "You must have sinned. In order for all this stuff to happen to you, in order for all this situation and calamity to happen to you, you must have done something to tick God off. You did wrong somehow. Somehow you sinned, O Job, and all you need to do is confess your sin before God, and God will deliver you." Now, Job was offended. Job was totally and utterly offended by what his friends was trying to tell him. "What do you mean that I did wrong? Or what do you mean that I must have sinned before God? I have done no wrong. I don't know why all of this stuff is happening to me. I did nothing wrong. But yet, everything that I loved, everything that I wanted has been taken away from me." Now, can you even imagine being in that situation? You know you've done everything that God wanted you to do. You know you've been faithful to God. You know that on every corner, on every hand, you know you have nothing to hide. There are no secrets in your closet. You have done the work that God has called of you to do. But yet, everything around you has fallen apart. Everything around you is gone. And everybody is accusing you of being wrong. Everybody is looking at you that you had to be wrong. You must have done something to cause this to happen unto you. That'd make you feel pretty bad, wouldn't it? Make you feel like, what is happening? God, why are you doing this to me? We may not face the extremes that Job faced, but we do have our own share of calamity. We face losing our jobs. We face losing our homes. We face losing our cars. And in some cases, we face losing our loved ones. But rarely, rarely do all of these events occur in the short span that they occurred to Job. On top of it all, as I said, Job's health was smitten. He had all of these things all over him. The normal, average, everyday Christian would have wilted and faltered under these extreme pressures. The normal, everyday, coming to church on Sunday, coming to church on Wednesday, going to heaven anyhow, and enjoying the trip, Christian would have faltered under this extreme pressure. Couldn't have made it. Couldn't handle it. Some of the things that we go through today, we get all upset about and we fall apart. With some of the little things that come our way, we get a bill from the IRS where they said your taxes were done incorrectly and now you got to pay $5,000. We fall apart because we got to pay $5,000 back to the IRS. Jesus. Yeah, that's a hard thing to do. But we fall apart just because of that. I mean, that's okay. Just talk to the people. Tell them you can't pay it back at one time. And that you'll pay it back over time, they'll understand, and they'll accept it. They're not going to take anything away from you. But we fall apart when we get this notice in the mail. We fall apart. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You start calling people on the telephone. You call this one. You call that one. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. And you just start falling totally apart. But you see, God knows us. God understands us. And he will never put more on you than you are able to bear. God will never put stuff on you that you are not able to endure for yourself. God knew Job, and he knew that Job could endure this hardship. Job was bemoaning his condition in chapters 10 and 16. He said in Job 10 and 1, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contend with me. Job was hurt. He was confused and in obvious pain and agony. I didn't tell you that Job went through this without complaining. He complained. There is no question about it that he complained. His condition was so severe that he most likely could not sustain rational thought. He vacillated back and forth between recognizing the sovereignty of God and then questioning why he was in this position in the first place. He could not understand how he, being a righteous man, could fall to such depths of despair in such a short period of time. He must have thought, I know I've done nothing to deserve this fate. Why is this happening to me of all people? I have given God my all. Why has God forsaken me? Praise God. And I'm telling you, if it were me, I probably would have said even more than that. But thanks be to God, Job came to himself. In chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, Job acknowledges he cannot feel or perceive God. Verse 8, he says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But in verse 10, he recovers very quick. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He acknowledges that God knows him and is ultimately in control of his life. For each of us, God knows the way we take. He knows everything about what we do and the path we are taking. He can, if he so inclines, to do so, change the circumstances that we're going through. He can change the path that we're going. He can change us or everyone and everything surrounding us. God can do just that if he wants to. But as Job so eloquently put it, when he has tried me, when he has put me to the test, when he has comforted himself that I am a loyal subject unto him, I shall come forth as gold. When God has satisfied himself that I am not going to go back on the promises that I've made unto him, God will relieve me of the test that I'm going through, and I shall come forth as gold. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me tell you a little bit about gold. Gold, when it is first mined, is not pure. It has other metals embedded, such as zinc, iron, and silver. The refining process for extracting gold to a 99.5% purity state involves extreme heat. The temperature must be raised to 1,945 degrees Fahrenheit, which is gold's melting point, to allow for the impurities to settle and combine with chlorine gas. Those impurities settle on the surface of the molten gold and are easily identified and removed. Praise God. Likewise, when we are tried, as the Apostle Peter mentions in 1 Peter 1 and 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Apostle is saying we will not avoid trials. Our faith will be tested, and it will be tested with fire. We will have to go through trouble, trial, and tribulation, and sometimes what we go through is going to hurt us. Sometimes what we go through is going to be extreme heat. But the reason why it is extreme heat is the same reason it is for those impurities. In order for us to move forward, we got to get the junk out of us. In order for us to move forward, there are things in us that God wants to extract out of us. And it's going to take fire to get that stuff out of us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray and we pray, Lord, help me to be the person that you want me to be. Help me, Lord, to do the things that you want me to do. Lord, I'm tired of doing the same old thing over and over and over again. I want to do better. I want to do right. I want to be what you want me to be. And God says, okay, I'll take note of that. As soon as you are willing and obedient to do what I want you to do, don't worry, I will take you through the fire. And when I take you through the fire, it's going to hurt, but I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to kill your soul. I'm not going to kill your spirit. All I'm trying to do is to get it out of you so that you can be the person you have prayed that you want to be. Thank you, Jesus. You want to be more like God? No problem. God will take you through the fire, through the press, so that you can be more like him, so that you can walk before him. And when we walk before God, we're not walking with our chest poked out. We're not walking with our heads up. We're walking with our heads down, recognizing that we're humble before God, that I am nothing before God, and that I can be used by him. Thank you, Jesus. I don't walk around like I'm some kind of big shot, because I'm nothing before God. But as I humble myself before God, the God that I serve will elevate me so that I can be used by him. Thank you, Jesus. Many people have it backwards. Many people think that they've got to be up before God can use them. Many people believe that they got to be on top before God can use them. And I say, no, that's the backwards way. God sees us in an humble fashion and sees that we see that we're nothing before God, that we can be nothing before God, we can do nothing without God. And when God sees that that's where we are, then we are just right for God to use us. When we recognize our failures before Him, then God can use us. God can do something with us right at that moment. When I know that I don't know everything, when I know that I don't do everything right, when I know that everything is not going well just for me, when I know and acknowledge that I need God, then God can do something in your life. Glory to God. Job repented. Some find it disheartening to hear of Job's complaints and see that he did not endure his suffering with the grandeur they had first believed. It is easy to sit back in judgment and criticize Job for his arguments toward God. However, when one considers all that Job endured, without cursing God or denouncing him, I believe it was absolutely awesome. Especially considering he did not enjoy the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a helper for him during this time of trial. We have the Holy Ghost, saints. Those of us who are saved, sanctified, and filled with God's Spirit, we have His Spirit on the inside of us to help us during these hard times. Job didn't have the luxury of being filled with the Spirit of God. Job nevertheless repented. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from you. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees you. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Job says, I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job acknowledged he was in agony and despair and was basically out of his mind. It is a good lesson here that we consider the words that we speak before we speak them. It's important for us to understand what we're saying before we say them. Even when we're going through troubles, trials, and tribulations, we need to be careful about what we say. We need to be careful about our complaints before God. We need to be careful about how we complain before, especially to other people. Especially to others. We need to be careful about that. God received Job's confession and told Satan, enough is enough. He's suffered enough. He's gone through enough. Take your hands off of my servant. See, the Lord had built a hedge around Job, just like he does around each of his people. Thank you, Jesus. Satan had thrown everything he possibly could at Job to get him to denounce God. Job, even though he was not perfect, never denounced God. He stayed the course and acknowledged God throughout. His friends were relentless in their arguments against Job, yet he did not buckle under their enormous pressure. As a result, he was rewarded more at the end than what he lost in the beginning. Everything that Job lost, God restored even greater than what he had. The houses he had, God gave even greater. The cattle that he had and the livestock he had, God gave even greater. The possessions, the jewelry, the gold that he had, God gave him even greater. And he even blessed him with more children. See, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we're able to ask or think. God, in other words, can blow our minds. Totally and completely blow our minds. And we, when we look at where we are right now, we can see a change has got to be coming. Somehow, some way, a change has got to be coming because I'm going to move forward. I'm moving forward with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let God be God. I'm no longer going to sit back and commiserate about my situation. Talk about how bad things are. Talk about how terrible things are. Talk about the economic situation and how terrible it is. No, 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 no. I've got an example right now here in Job. I will trust in the Lord. And I will let God do what God wants to do in my life. God wants to bless each and every one of us. God wants to touch each and every one of us. God wants to move in each and every one of our lives. But we've got to let God do what God wants to do. We've got to allow God to move. And the only way God's going to move in us is that we've got to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We've got to give God something so that God will be able to use us and that God will be able to bless us. The old saying in the computer world, garbage in, garbage out. If you put in garbage, you're going to get out garbage. But see, with God, if you sow unto righteousness, if you sow unto holiness, if you sow unto the things of God, you will reap the good things of God. Amen? That's what God wants from us today. As we see our situation out there, we've got to say, Lord, I'm moving forward beyond where I am. I'm going to forget about where I was, and I'm going to move ahead to where I know you want me to be. My wife mentioned earlier that she sees big things. There are big goals that she wants to put forth before God because God will meet her where she is. And that's what faith is. Faith allows you those things that you can't not physically see, those things that are not even in existence right now. Faith allows for those things to come into existence and for those things to be a reality, even though they don't exist today. Even though they are not even a part of us right now, faith says they will be a part of us. Faith says that I will accomplish what God intends for me to accomplish. Faith says that I will go the distance where God says that I will go. Faith allows where God sees me and where I am to meet. Faith says that they will become one and the same. Praise God. And that's all God is asking you today. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. And the more you trust and believe God, the more God will become real unto you. And the more the things of God will become real unto you. But you've got to make the first step. You've got to take a risk. And you've got to get beyond yourself. You've got to get beyond where other people are and say, I will give God my all. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? Are you going to lose your reputation if you tell people that I trust God? Are people going to take you and put you in an insane asylum because you say you trust God? No. They're not going to commit you because you say you trust God. There may come a day that they may want to lock you up because you say you trust God. But right now, where we stand, we are in a position that we can freely put our faith and our trust in God. And the only consequence we have is that once we say we trust God, we're going to be tried. We're going to go through trouble. We're going to go through tests. We're going to go through situations. But believe me, God's got your back. Just like I said last week, God's got your back. He will take care of you. He will help you as you go through these situations. He will be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So go right ahead. Take a risk. Go right ahead. Try God and see what God will do. Because a change will come in your life. God will bring about. God will orchestrate things. Things will begin to happen. And you'll wonder how in the world that these things start happening. I told you my testimony. When I decided to leave my job, I didn't have another job to go to. Didn't have one. Didn't have nothing. Didn't have anything lined up. But I knew that I needed to leave that place. And I knew that God was going to bless somehow. So I left the job. It was April. May came around. Nothing. There was supposed to be something lined up at one company. I went on vacation and found out afterwards, after I went on vacation, that fell through the cracks. So here I am. I don't have anything. Totally. Zero. Nothing. And I thought I was going to be teaching in the school system. That would be perfect for me. You know, got a master's degree. Go in there and teach in the school system. I like to impart wisdom upon children. That would be perfect for me. I tried the school system. That didn't work out. So I said, fine. Maybe I'll just go teach at one of the colleges. That'll work out fine, too. I tried the colleges. That didn't work out. Everything that I tried, it didn't work out. So I'm sitting back and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I know that you're in this situation. And the good thing about it was God was in it. And I know God was in it because my wife was totally at peace. She was not falling apart. There was nothing going on. She was 100% at peace. And I knew from that God is in the midst of this. Somehow, some way, God will get the victory for us. And I received a phone call out of the blue. I had applied for this job at Brunswick Community Hospital. Just on a whim, I didn't really want the job because it was in a hospital. Never worked in a hospital before. And was wondering, I don't know what this is, how it's going to work. And with the way the position was looked at, I thought to myself, you know, I'm probably overqualified for this job. But I applied for it anyhow. I got a phone call. They wanted to come in and have me have an interview. I interviewed. They wanted me to come back for a second interview. I interviewed the second time. Then they wanted me to come in for a third interview. After that, they gave me an offer. And then I accepted the offer. And like I said, 16 months later, after I accepted the initial offer, they promoted me to be a director over the coastal and central regions within the company that we have, over all of the supplies and materials that flow into those hospitals in those particular regions. But that's because I trust in God. That's because I believe God. That's because I know that in spite of, God is still in charge and that God is still in control. And we must constantly and always, when all things fail, when things look the bleakest, still recognize God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. Saints, we're going to move forward in 2009. We're going to be the people that God wants us to be in 2009. We're going to do the things that God wants us to do in 2009. We had a very good year in 2008, and you saw that through the presentation that was made on Wednesday night. But God's going to take us even higher than that. God's going to take us even further than that. We will be in a position where we will be a light and a beacon in this community. We will be something that people need. People need help, and we will be there to provide the help for these individuals. People need a refuge. They need a place of safety. They need a place where they can come and know that God is in the midst of this thing. This is the place where they can come. This is a safe haven. We don't have any junk going on over here. We don't have any situation where we will only accept this kind of Christian. We will accept anybody who will come. Whosoever will, let him come, saith the Lord. That's who we will accept, because that's what God wants. And that's what we will do by the grace of God. Saints, let's stay encouraged to do the work of God and let God be God in your life. A change is coming. We're moving forward in 2009. We're moving forward by the grace of God. Lord, have thine own way. Lord, have thine own way. Glory to God in the highest. We thank God for his word, and we thank God for each of you. We ask that you continue to be faithful unto the Lord. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate you coming and being a part of the ministry that God has given unto us here, how the Lord is showing himself mighty. And we want to make sure that we are ready to go back with the Lord when he comes back. We want to make sure that we're ready to meet him when he comes. And if there's a one here today who is not ready, and you know you're not ready, and you know that if the Lord were to come this day, that you would not be ready to go back with him, and you want to get yourself right with God, you want to get yourself right and ready to go back with God, would you come and acknowledge before God, Lord, I want you more than anything in my life. I want you to be number one in my life. I want you to be the God of my life. I want you to be the one who will control my life. I don't want to call the shots any longer. I want you, God, to call the shots in my life. I want you to direct me. I want you to guide me. I want you to lead me. Because I've been doing this myself, and I'm tired of doing it myself, and I want to do the right thing before you, O God. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Let us stand. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will, while I am waiting, yielded still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for these your people. We thank you, Lord, for being in the midst of us on this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given unto us. And I ask right now that you would have your way. Have your way, Lord, in the hearts of those who are under the sound of my voice. Those who are saved, I ask, oh God, that you would continue to solidify their walk with you. Help them to walk by faith and not by sight. Help them, O God, to believe and trust in you, that you have their best interest at heart, that you will be with them always, even unto the end of the world. Encourage them, O God, to just move on and to move forward in you. I ask, O God, for those who are not saved, who are under the sound of my voice, Lord God, help them to open their hearts and to open their minds and to open their spirits, that you, O Lord, may come in, and that you, O God, may do the work that you want to do in their lives. Let them understand, Lord, that you love them fully and completely, and that you will receive them just as they are. Lord, we just want to say thank you. We just want to praise you and adore you. We ask that you would be with Sister Bromel. Touch her body, O God. Help her this day and give her full and complete recovery. Likewise, bless Elder Lewis, O God. Help him and continue to strengthen him by your blood and by your power. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all of God's people say, amen. Amen.